I'll announce in 2020 my willpower is back.
Big news, everybody. Just in time for the NFL draft. How about that?
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff we have to talk about, you know. Willie McGinnis was in here just, a mere matter of hours ago talking about where his old pal Tom Brady might go. I encourage you, nay demand, that you go back and listen to that one. He had some keen, really unique insights on Tom Brady. Nobody is closer with the Patriots organization and the key players in it than number 55 Willie McGinnis is. So take his insights as actual knowledge, not just rumor mongering like Dave Dameshek likes to do.
Right.
But of course, we're people first, and we're worried. We're worried about our friend Eddie Spaghetti back there behind the glass, who is slowly but surely, I'm afraid to report, eating himself to death.
Out of the league.
Out of the league at minimum. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are, at least better. I hope you have more room than Handsome Hank and I have, because Eddie Spaghetti is taking up ever more of it with each passing day. How are you? Well, first of all, let's say hello to before we tackle, only figuratively, because we're only men.
Only,
we couldn't bring that.
We would have to
ground.
Gang tackle him.
Yeah, be like trying to tackle LeGarrette Blount or something
like that. A blimp.
Yeah, can't do that. Yeah. Can't tackle blimp.
With a blimp, they have like four or five anchors to hold it to the ground.
But all the way from London, England, he is our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Will Tom Brady play those Dolphins twice in 2020? I don't know, but here's Handsome Hank. I'm going to let it play because I've been seeing Daniel Craig commercials.
Me too.
He's handsome, Hank. Well, Handsome, how are you?
Worried, Dave.
Yeah, so you can't even allow yourself to be enthused about the latest installment of the James Bond?
Well, we talked about it last time I was here. I mean, first of all, I can't be enthused about it because I immediately conjured up a better James Bond song.
I know. I haven't gotten enough. We didn't get Willie McGinnis to do his version.
You should have got Willie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
There's no time to die. No time.
Wipe a tear from your eye.
Ooh, Willie's friends with Snoop. Wonder if Snoop could do something.
Maybe he would.
Anyway.
So I'm worried about Eddie. Mm. Because, you know, every time I come in here, he's added a little bit of heft. And every time, look, I don't mind what's happening to Eddie physically, but mentally as well, it's the lies that he's telling himself about, oh, I'm going to, you know, next week is when I'm going to really focus.
He keeps
on this.
Kicking
this
it is, down the road.
This is what's worrying me because before, you know, if we don't intervene, and this is what this is an intervention, then, you know, he could be 450 pounds before next season kicks.
It is an intervention, and that's why under this very desk is your girlfriend, Jada.
Right.
Jada, come on out. No, she's not here.
She's not. Dave, by the way, if we're going to have an intervention, I bought a cookie for you.
This is good.
So you and I can intervene with Eddie. I only bought two because I care about Eddie.
Is it warm?
It's a warm, brand new, warm chocolate cookie.
This is his first test.
Yep. I mean, that's essentially
you can see us eat it here.
See this, Eddie? This is no ordinary cookie. This is a good cookie.
I was just talking. Mm. That is a good cookie. Where'd it come from?
Just a store. I got a coffee just now and I saw it and I was like, I'm going to get two of those. I'm not going to get three.
I'm not tempted. So
I promise you, if you were allowed to try some of this, you would love it.
Win, play, show these dessert items. Mm-hmm. You can't really see. If you start going into cake and pie, cookie, cupcake. This is tough.
Is a cookie a dessert item? I feel like it is in the U.S., it's a mid-afternoon snack or a mid-morning snack, depending on.
Oh, I see. At most restaurants, really, you don't order cookies as dessert. I got you.
It's a sweet, but it's not a dessert necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be.
What do you think about?
Let's turn to Eddie.
Since we skip pie off, Yeah, but he's a remorseless eating machine. He doesn't. He's incapable of distinguishing.
True.
Does it fit inside my gaping maw? Then put it on in there. You know, that's like who's he to judge? You know,
exactly. True. Good point. Cookie. This is a great cookie.
We didn't do pie off at Thanksgiving. We have talked about doing a spring installment. Maybe that's what it is. All desserts that could conceivably fit in one's pocket. That's okay. The measurement.
I like that. And then Eddie has to eat them all.
Well, no. He can eat whatever he wants, but I will remain the blue ribbon panel of one.
I'm not the biggest dessert guy.
Imagine if he was. Oh, my God.
Because there's some people who have, like, the sweet tooth. Like, I don't seek out dessert. I guess that's a way of finding me, but... but I don't. I've never seen Hank laugh.
You're the guy. Don't you? What's your? You find your way to what's it called? The milkshake shop.
Yeah, you. Every time you're like, and then bar. On the way, then it wasn't really on the way home, but I was in a car.
Milk
so
bar.
I drove 40 minutes to go to Milk Bar.
No, it's close. Milk Bar. Milk Bar is a place. If you have not been to the listeners,
I'm not a dessert guy. It's close. What do you want me to do?
It's close.
I'm not going to go in there and eat.
You
cake
think
on
my drive? My car's going to drive itself home?
What I meant was I don't have dessert in my apartment, and secondly, if I go out to eat. If I go out to eat at a restaurant, I'm not a lock to order a dessert post dinner.
But you are a lock to drive somewhere else to get it. You might not order it at that restaurant, but you're definitely going somewhere else.
I guess we should be thankful that he's not a dessert guy.
I know. I mean, imagine if he was.
I don't like ice
cream.
On that
show, 600-pound whatever. So I don't know.
I don't like ice cream. Most cakes are boring. It's just like certain pies I like. I don't really mess with dessert all the time.
You can only have. Let's do the game. Cupcakes, cookies, cake, pie. What are the other key
brownie.
Dessert items?
Brownies
like some kind of baked goods. Yeah. I don't know what you would call a brownie, but a baked good.
All right, we'll tackle that at another date.
Well, you want to make
your
sure
favorite
you
ice cream?
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to just willy nilly this thing. It's too important.
Yeah,
too important. It's March is here. Maybe that'll be our big bracket for the month of March. Or wait, didn't? We could do ice cream flavors.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite?
I like chocolate with chocolate in. Like what I like is a dark, deep, dark chocolate ice cream with like chocolate brownie chunks in there.
That's number one for you.
Oh, yeah.
I like it when it's dark chocolate. Like I've said before, and I'll say again to you, milk chocolate, that's for the ham and eggers out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When you're ready to go hardcore, you tune it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is dark chocolate with chunks of brownie in it, but dark chocolate brownie. There's a place down the road. Maybe we should do we haven't been on the road with the podcast for ages.
No.
There's a ice cream store called Ginger's. Have you ever been there? Down the road from here?
No.
Eddie? No? Weird.
A dessert guy, man.
No, good point. We should go there and try. They have like 100 flavors. We should see if we can get a scoop of each and just go through it.
All right. Yeah. Well, my kids are big on that one. They're my boy, Jean-Claude Van Damischek, is the greatest perpetrator of
too many of those.
Can I also taste that one?
Can I try that one? It's like, but you don't, I know you don't want that one. Yeah, but I want to try it.
It's an outrage. Yeah, it's an embarrassment to me. I
get embarrassed. After like seven, I'm like, no more.
Yeah.
And even the people behind the counter are saying no more as well.
Is there any football you'd like to discuss here today, Handsome?
Sure. I mean, what do you want to talk about? Free agency or?
I don't know. Just had the keep talking about a while Tom. Back. Keep talking Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, make something happen. We've discussed at length all the places he could go. We'd like to see him go. I think it's going to turn out this way. I've said this to you before, but don't go back to New England. Go try have a new adventure.
Yeah, I like that. From a distance. I don't want to see Tom Brady. I don't want to look back in 30 years and be like, you remember when Tom Brady wore that ridiculous Buccaneers helmet? I don't want that for Tom, you know?
I'd like to get him out of the AFC East. That's part of it.
I said the spaghetti on the last episode after Willie departed. We read the tea leaves that Willie, all the little...
Did he drop some hints?
Well, he dropped some breadcrumbs, but unfortunately spaghetti ate them all. So then we had to try to piece it all back together from scratch. Tampa Bay does make some sense. I don't know about... Bruce Arians always gets the best.
I get that, but I mean, like, But that would be that's not good for his legacy. There are some teams where you could go, okay, you go there, and I get, like, the 49ers you discussed before is like, that's a classic franchise. You go to the Buccaneers, it doesn't feel like that fits with
well, that's what I said. That's what I said. The spaghetti. It seemed, I don't know, that is in my head. Do you suppose that is in Tom Brady's head as well? Like, I can't check out of this league with a pirate ship firing behind me and these silly get-ups. Like, I at least need to see what the new get-ups are going to look like.
That
before.
Would play into it, for sure.
Wouldn't it for you? Otherwise, Tennessee makes a lot of sense. Vrabel, the
it does. I mean,
catcher.
They're kind of in the same league, though.
Yes, but the thing that I floated to spaghetti and I float to you now, if you're Tom Brady, you get out without ever really letting anyone in the AFC East take you down. And if you stick around for one more season, the Bills might get you, the Jets might even get you, and the Dolphins aren't going to be a complete joke in 2020, no. You wouldn't think.
No, not at all. I don't think. Yeah, I think that's why I'm saying I think he should go and find a new challenge. But I'd like it to be in there. I think your idea of the 49ers last week, which I'll be honest, I hadn't really considered seriously before, when you laid that out for us, and I think it was when money was around on the show.
Well, a lot of other people are throwing it out.
I know, suddenly Dion, it's his idea. But I am noting that you were the first person I heard suggest it and then really sort of flesh it out. I think that sounds cool. I think that sounds like he could go there thinking, obviously, this is a team that's fresh off a Super Bowl loss. He is the difference. And again, if there's a challenge, it's like, I want to prove that, separate to Bill Belichick, whatever you think of Kyle Shanahan, who I think is a great coach and will be considered a great coach for a long time to come, but Tom Brady can go off, win a Super Bowl with a team. That definitely, like, not that it needs any more cementing, but his legacy is then, this was Tom Brady's thing.
Where do we suppose now that, because once you do, these things don't happen in a vacuum. So once you're the Raiders and you start floating the idea, yeah, we're interested. Yeah, there's mutual interest. Oh, the Niners somehow through, behind the scenes sources float out. Yeah, we're interested in the Tom Brady thing. How do you then go back and make it right with your incumbent? And I know you could say it's Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. But also you would say, we don't have much, obviously don't have much long-term use for me if you're willing to take a look at a 43-year-old man who didn't have a good season last time we saw him. But it does seem that with or without Tom Brady, the Bucs are now letting it be known that we're ready to move on from Jameis Winston. Where does Jameis land? And wonder if Marcus Mariota takes over for him in Tampa. Teddy B down there, whoever it is, you're going to see the best version of that QB because that's what Bruce Arians does consistently.
The weird thing is, like, during this time of year, you talk about draft smoke screens, but the same thing's happening around free agency. As much as anything, that could be the Buccaneers trying to get a message to Jameis Winston's agent saying, we it's not a lock that we're going to take you back, but if the price is right, then we will do. I would not necessarily rule out the fact that he winds up back there, but probably not at the amount of money that he's expecting to get each year.
Well, listen, either way, this is the time of year where it's fun to speculate. Every player that you see running a 40-yard dash, everybody announces, oh, he'd be good on my team. Everybody decides that that's the guy that our team must get. And free agency, you can start plugging those things in. Never mind the salary cap and real
life
concerns.
And the trades that are going to happen that none of us, we've talked a lot about free agency. We will talk a lot about the draft. But the last 3 or 4 years, what they've told us is in the next 2 weeks, there will be at least 2 or 3 trades, which we definitely didn't see coming, which will put a player that we thought was fixed on one team over to another team that you wanted to acquire them.
Well, and no jive is the policy here, so no jive. I don't fully grasp the new CBA that's being negotiated right now, but I mean, I understand.
As a former player, you should probably try to come to terms with that.
I trust my team head,
Okay.
I defer to him on all these things, but yeah, I appreciate that. I'm interested, but I made my bones. I'm worried about the young guys, the young bucks, the young bucks. I want them to get theirs.
By the way, is there any limit on our talent at the NFL Combine? Excuse me, I've got a mouthful of cookie, Eddie. At the NFL Combine, calling the players who are at the Combine this young man. It was like, you're like 31. And this guy might be 20.
The opportunity in our league for this young man.
This young man.
The sky's the limit. Like, wait a second. Well, I mean,
Jamal Adams was using it. Jamal Adams is in his fourth year in the league. Like, saying this young man, he's like, I don't understand. You're also a young man yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This feels like one of those words you have to use during the combine.
I know. Yeah. Well, of course, the superlative that is always used to the exclusion of all others. The key adjective that you must employ if you're a serious football man is outstanding.
Outstanding.
Outstanding character. Yeah. Outstanding.
Man of outstanding character.
Yeah. Our league is going to benefit from this young man's talent. Presence. Yeah. Yeah. If he keeps his head screwed
in
on straight. Right.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you.
I don't remember what I was even going to ask you about, but you know what? Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
Who cares what I was going to ask you about? Because it's time for a draft edition of Use Your Noodle. Take it away, host Eddie Spaghetti.
Whoa!
So get together and canoodle. We got the whole kit and caboodle.
Caboodle.
And why the questions, they may be futile. It's time for you to use your noodle.
I really wish I could think of what I was going to say to you. But anyway, take it away, host Eddie Spaghetti.
All right. I am, as always, over-prepared, and I have about 5 or 6 different options we could choose from, all draft-related. Do you guys want to do you want to pick, or you want me to choose myself?
I think you should choose.
All right.
Imagine you're ordering off a menu.
Yeah.
So don't choose them all.
So I was going to say, yeah, we do all of them. It'll be a 3-hour podcast. I actually like this one. I think we're going to do this one. All right. So I have here... This is draft related, and it is the last quarterback taken in the first round by each franchise in the NFL.
What? In the first round?
Yes. So it's okay. It's only 32 answers. It's obviously one per team.
I love that one. That's
very good. That's a very, very good one.
Right. I'm glad we all agree, because usually they go.
Well, they usually stink, to be honest with you.
Well, that's why I got like 5 or 6, so I was prepared.
I like that one. Okay, I'm a gentleman, so I'll let Handsome go first.
The Pittsburgh Steelers took Ben Roethlisberger.
That is correct. The New York Football Giants took Danny Dimes.
The Miami Dolphins took Ryan Tannehill.
You're paying these off, right? You're tracking all these?
Yes, I'm checking them off, yeah.
All right, so we have... done that one. The New York Jets took Sam Darnold.
Jets.
The Cleveland Browns took Baker Mayfield.
And part of the drill is, if you provide an answer that has already been provided, that counts as an X.
I get it.
Josh Allen went to the Buffalo Bills.
That was my next one. The Indianapolis Colts took Andrew Luck.
Okay, the Baltimore Ravens took Lamar Jackson.
The Washington Redskins took Dwayne Haskins.
The Houston Texans took Deshaun Watson.
The Carolina Panthers took Cam Newton.
All right, see, now I'm having a hard time. I'm not doing a great job of keeping up with you on which ones have already been thrown out here. But the Atlanta Falcons did take Matt Ryan.
Falcons, Matt Ryan is correct, yes.
We should get, you know what, now, I mean, it's becoming pretty clear. We should get these all correct. We shouldn't miss any of these.
Well, there's a couple teams, actually, I've got to where I'm like, I don't know who that would be. But anyway, the Detroit Lions took Matt Stafford.
Yes.
Bold. The Chicago Bears took Mitchell Trubisky.
Correct.
The Green Bay Packers took Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes.
The San Diego Chargers took Phil Rivers.
Think about what you just said.
I said the then San Diego Chargers.
Yes. That's fine.
Took
Dave gets it. Yep. There you go.
Oh.
So I can go pretty much anywhere and win this one.
Yes.
Oh, what an idiot.
As long as he didn't already say it, because I'll be honest, I was not following along very closely.
Come
with
on, Dave.
Was saying.
Get it wrong.
I'll go with our local guys.
Oh, I've said that.
Did he say Arizona? Did he say Rams yet? He didn't say either one of those. Kyler Murray, Jared Goff.
Both are right. So Dave
is the Raiders. Winner. The Raiders would have taken last one. They would have taken is Jamarcus Russell,
Jamarcus
right?
Russell.
That is true. Correct. So I'll give
I mean, you got me on a technicality. The Cowboys was the one where I was like, "Is it like is Troy Aikman the last one?"
The Dallas Cowboys.
They almost took. They almost.
Yes, Troy Aikman is the last.
What one. Is that right?
There's a couple of crazy ones.
Sheesh,
on this list.
That's a great.
The Vikings was the other one I was trying to pull, and then I was like, I just.
Well, the Vikes. I mean, it can't be Dante Culpepper, can it?
No.
Was he? He went in the first, though, right?
It's more recent than you think.
Oh, it's Christian Ponder.
Ponder.
It's not.
Hmm.
It wasn't Christian Ponder, eh? Oh, no, it wasn't Sam Bradford. Let's round out. So Arizona, so okay. Goff, Seattle's last first
the Eagles
rounder.
Had Carson Wentz. That was what I should have done next, but I was had Phil Rivers in my head.
Correct.
That Cowboys one is crazy. The Skins, you got Haskins.
Yes.
So if we rounded out that division, Giants, yeah. So that division's done. We didn't do Denver.
Denver's Paxton Lynch.
Yeah, that is. That's a good pull.
I was, you know what? I wasn't positive he was a first round guy. Yeah, but you're right.
Right, late first round.
Yeah, right. Okay. So we're done with that.
So, Eddie, surely that, I mean, like, we could have had fun here. You could have, I mean.
What do you want me to tell you? I'm going across the.
That's the rules. You yeah. lose,
right,
bum.
Fine. So who was the Chargers?
Eli.
Okay, but I mean, that's dumb. That's dumb. That really is dumb.
It was a draft and trade. I mean, I could. If you wanted,
fine, but I get it. I understand.
That's what it says on the thing.
Too bad that Paxton Lynch was there, because the answer otherwise would have been, if I'm not mistaken, one Tim Tebow. Are we missing any teams here?
Yeah, you're missing the Bengals, Jags, Titans, Patriots.
Okay. So Jags is Blake Bortles.
Correct.
The Titans. Is it you say the Titans?
Titans, yes.
Remember the Titans.
Mariota.
Mariota's the answer. Yep.
Who else?
The on this side.
The Bungles. Be careful with the Bungles.
Dave Klingler.
It could be yeah, David.
If the AFC, you're just missing Cincinnati and New England.
The Bengals is Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer's correct.
And New England
wow,
is.
That's a man. Oh, man. Carson Palmer, the last first rounder for Cincinnati.
New England is.
Boy, this could be. Is this a great one?
Yeah.
This is a great one.
Yeah, it's a fun answer.
Bledsoe.
Yeah.
I was about to say Champagne. I think, you would have won in the back end.
I think it should be a tie.
No, I think I won.
Because you got me on a technicality. That is ridiculous.
If you can get. Well, hold on. Before I say this one, you still have the Vikings, the Saints, the Bucks. The 49ers, and then the Seahawks. The Seahawks, and the Saints are... Okay, you got Alex Smith. There you go.
I'm sorry. I started
we just
to move
did
on.
The AFC. The NFC. This so the NFC. 49ers is Alex Smith.
Correct.
The Seahawks.
This one, I would wait on this one.
Okay. The Saints.
I would also wait on this one.
Okay, so
okay, so
people?
Seahawks, based on the way you're acting...
You should be able to
Seahawks
get
is
Rick
Dan
Meyer.
McGuire.
What
Rick
happened?
Meyer.
Rick Meyer.
Rick Meyer, okay. There you go.
Okay.
I was going to say, getting that old Notre Dame player.
The Saints last first
Jeff
round.
Blake?
Well, don't say yet. There, Spaghetti. Let me weigh in here before you say yes, sir. Unless he's correct.
Tell me some other teams.
Then,
well, Tampa and Minnesota.
Well, Jameis.
Jameis, correct.
Yeah. Okay, so Minnesota. Are we say we Christian Ponder.
We got.
It's
we,
not.
It's not Ponder. Oh, and we still didn't get that one, huh?
No.
A first round QB. Who was not Christian Ponder. So in the last 8 years or thereabouts, there's been a QB that went to the Minnesota Vikings, and it wasn't Christian Ponder.
Did they sign and trade him, Eddie? Is this
it's not one of those. He played as a member of the team. He's currently in the league, and his name has been tossed around a bit as of recent.
Oh, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
Oh, man, sure.
That's crazy that I can't remember that one. And then, sorry, the Saints is the last team that we have.
The Saints is very fun.
I'm trying to think of the cute... I mean, it very fun? Could go away. I couldn't go
could
all the way
Manning.
Back to Archie.
It's a man.
It's Archie Manning.
It's Archie.
Wow. It's Archie? Yeah.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
What are we supposed to learn from this? The Bengals haven't used a first rounder in forever.
Well, that's not that forever compared to Archie.
Yeah, but they're
Manning.
A bad. But the difference is between some of these good teams. It's like, wow, you go pretty far back there. Well, yeah, I guess they're never in a position
well,
to need a QB. But if you're the Bengals,
think how snake bit they were before that. Akili Smith.
Yeah, right.
Dave Klingler. I mean, like, I'm trying to think. They used to pick a quarterback every other year, and they were all busts. Maybe they just said, forget it. Let's not fill that position.
Boy, that was more fun than I thought it was going to be. Well done there, Eddie Spaghetti.
Well done, Eddie, although I definitely think I lost on a technicality.
We don't have to. I mean, I don't know what football we need to talk about here. I'm sorry that you're not watching the new hit reality dating show called Love is Blind, Handsome. It's very strange. You meet, they make these people, you don't get to see the people. You go on dates with them. But you sit behind a wall, kind of like the dating game kind of a thing, and you just have one-on-one dates. But how long were they in those things there, Spaghetti? They had like a week or 2 weeks or whatever?
Oh, not just, yeah, each, they were in there about that long. I believe it was like a week or so, but the dates were very, very quick. They had a like speed date with everyone else in this facility they were in.
And then,
so you don't see each other?
No.
They never see each other.
When do you finally get to see someone?
After you propose marriage.
What?
Oh, it's the only
what the
time
hell?
You...
hell?
Unless, yeah.
Like actual marriage or pretend game show marriage.
Well, it was kind of interesting because by the end of it, I've watched the whole thing now, and by the end of it, it's fairly clear. So they put you in these things where you have to interact behind a wall. And how do you think you would do in that? Do you think you would fare well? I bet
you
would.
I'm dull. I don't think I would.
Oh, no. But if it were a U.S.-based show and you started dropping that accent, you know, forget about it.
Yeah, I mean...
The number of proposals would be outstanding in our league.
From this young man.
From this young man.
Yeah, okay.
And it's I kind of was a roller coaster of interest in it. I liked it, then I got bored and I walked away. But then Beth kept watching and said, you got to catch up and check this out. And so then I started watching it and I found myself engaged again, but much like the people on the show.
Right.
And then at the end of it, it seems fairly clear that the producers must have had these people under some sort of a contract that required them that if they got engaged, then they lived together for like, what, the 2 to 4 weeks or something like that. And then they have to go and have the ceremony. And
they had to have a ceremony.
That was my question. What obligate? Why wouldn't you just say to the producers, thanks
Sorry,
for everything, but yeah, we're just going to date now casually.
Right.
The things that made it better than The Bachelor were everybody was in Atlanta. So the notion that, like, well, it's unreasonable. I'm a wrangler on a ranch. I can't move to New York City kind of right. conversations are out because they never happen. Spaghetti, who would you date of all those people? Who do you think you would get engaged to of the women on that
which
show?
Which one out of the entire show, just like the final, the ones?
The ones that we saw. There's one clear answer.
Can I ask a question before?
Sure.
Is there just one guy or one girl who's making the selections, or were there?
There wasn't
one for each person.
It's as I described. Is what I'm realizing as I'm telling Handsome about it is how did. Anybody, first of all, sign up for this show, except that they want to be on TV, which is always the answer. Yeah. But then how did these people trick their own brains into thinking like, oh, yeah, I'll propose marriage to this person who I've spoken to 3 times. It's more ludicrous.
But so did some people get left out? Were some people like, sorry, your conversation's not good enough. It stinks.
Yes, exactly.
Your conversation stinks. You're not.
People vanish and you don't know what happened to them. Well, I mean, not like that. From the show. And then I was telling Dave off air before that there was a couple that actually, I guess it worked out for them, and they were just deemed too boring by the producers. They just cut them out of, like...
Even though, actually, that might be the success story. Of
exactly.
I mean, they're all damaged human beings, first of all.
Yeah.
You, on some level, I guess everybody's damaged, but these people are... you know, needy sorts of people, and that's the common thread for all of them. But I liked the one who was the most attractive and the most delightful was that Giannina girl.
Everyone seems to like her the most, yeah.
And the guy she was with was the biggest goober out of the whole gang, right?
Well, yeah, and you watched.
He was a frat dude.
Yeah, and there, what happened at their wedding ceremony?
And then they stay there with their families gathered on either side. Is like, I will not say yes.
Wait, so then,
like, there's a priest there.
There's a lot of no's.
Issuing threats. And by the way, I don't know how they get these priests who are, you can tell, are actual priests.
Actual priests, but.
And then they read the copy written by one of the producers that is like, so the moment of truth is here. Will you say yes to blank and spend the rest of your life with her? Or will you say goodbye forever right now? Choose. It's like, why would I have to say goodbye right to her? But then I guess that's the sort of thing. And more often than not, they say no.
Feels like this is, you know, maybe the way, given the threat the world has from the coronavirus, this may be the way dating's going.
Mm.
You know, no contact, no physical contact, not in the same room. Like that could actually become
be the norm.
Real life.
Yeah, yeah.
So perhaps this is a good way for us to get some practice. I mean, you know,
super weird show. You know, and then there was one guy who got engaged, and they were very much in love. He and the woman, they're very much in love
until they
and
saw each other.
Then he told her a couple years ago, "I dabbled in men." And then he got quite steamed. He got quite steamed when she didn't like that.
Right.
How dare you judge me, right, Spaghetti?
He told her on a vacation. They also had, we didn't fill in Hank in that part. You have the first meeting part where they first see each other. They're like, wow. And they like some awkwardly hug, some kiss. Some are just like, oh, this is crazy. And then they each have their destination. They have like hotel rooms in wherever, like a beach area. And they can go on vacation. They do all that activities. They have to meet the families as well. Unfortunately for, I forgot his name. It was like Carlton, I think his name was, when they were on their poolside vacation thing.
Carlton.
Yeah, he brought it up, and then she unfortunately left
She
him.
Didn't.
Yeah. Then he got very
close-minded.
He got very mad about this.
Right.
You know, like, who are you to tell me, you know? And then she was villainized by him. Yeah, go watch it. You'll love it.
I don't think I will, but, I mean, not I don't think I will love it. I don't think I'll even watch it. But I appreciate it. Sounds interesting. I just don't feel like I have enough time in my life for that.
Maybe that, you know, to make it football-y, maybe that's how all the combine interviews should go going forward. They should
or free agency.
Well, that
I'm a player who plays running back. I'm not going to tell you.
Okay, he's talking about something here, Spaghetti. Keep this in mind. We should try this. That would be an interesting test to put the onus back on to the teams and not just make it about these poor 21-year-old guys who are – and because a lot of the stuff that's coming out of it, a lot of the personnel guys, a lot of the head coaches, I've heard from a few of them have said – all these guys are so coached up. All the kids now are so coached up with
these
the kinds
men.
Of questions. These young men, as they are entering our league now, are now so coached up about what the right thing to say is that that the interviews don't have as much value as they did a generation ago. Maybe if we did it, if we did it, Love is Blind, Football is Blind, you know, style.
Right.
What do you think about that? Combine is blind.
I love that. You don't even know who you're talking to, and you have, you know, could be.
I love this guy. Oh, it's Jake Fromm.
It's like Guess Who. I love that game. I play that with my kids a lot.
I love Guess Who myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's very fun. Are you a quarterback? Yes. Okay. Knock down all the other players. Do you have small hands? Yes. Okay. Joe Burrow, got you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could go through.
We're not in. Yeah, turns out, that Mike Brown, he went through the interview. He didn't connect with Joe Burrow. He didn't select him. This is an interesting idea. All right, let's explore what we can do with that. Handsome. Over the weekend, I was flipping through the channel and the channels, and I came across Children of Men, and I watched it for the umpteenth time for, you know, maybe 20 minutes until the picture ended, and I realized then and there that it's the best movie of the 21st century.
Wow.
Children of Men.
Really?
You have another one? Let's go through them right now. Win, Play, Show.
The best movies of the 21st century.
I'd like you to...
I get very confused about the centuries these days.
What would you float out there? Spaghetti, this is your alleged wheelhouse. 21st century movies.
Oh, best in terms of like the public or
don't
what
play.
I
why? Why? I mean, because I'm a why?
Just,
why?
Just because if it's like what I want, I'm going to pick what's very rewatchable. Yeah, best. I mean, There'll Be Blood.
Treat this question.
No Country
like
for Old Men.
Like a double animal style. Just take it.
Take it.
You know,
The Breakup.
Departed.
The Breakup.
I don't know. I watched that.
I thought this year had a lot of good ones. I thought
The Departed is the most overrated.
I disagree.
It's all built around cell phone technology that is already outdated. That movie does not hold up at all.
Parasite, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. A couple ones this year are pretty good.
Those were good.
I'll say,
I really like. Did I talk to you? I watched 1917 last week.
Oh,
very intense.
It was awesome.
Like it was all of my worst nightmares kind of unfolding. One, like I have not often, but I have nightmares about being chased. I have nightmares about suddenly finding myself at war. I have nightmares about planes. Like all of these things all happen. Like, you know, all of it was just full of like recurring nightmare image. And then the bit where he's like running through this bomb town and there are flares flying over the top. That is basically all my nightmares. Like that's what happens.
Well, the destroyed city, the city, yeah. You know, just in rubble,
and then there's a mass
at
chasing
night
him.
At night with the fires burning within the buildings was beautiful.
It's a nightmare landscape,
and it's Children of Men is
some of
it's not the reason I love Children of Men because of the two tracking shots that are within it, but they are remarkable.
Yeah.
Those are genuine tracking shots, but 1917's trick that it makes the entire thing look like it's one long tracking shot is fascinating as well.
It's a good movie. What else have you got? What's on your list, Dave?
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Would be in my top five, I think.
I'll throw a couple. Anything by Taylor Sheridan, Hell or High Water, Wind River, and The Sicarios I like.
I finally watched one of The Sicarios. I thought it was pretty good. Mad Max would be in probably my top 10.
No. Lost in Translation, that's one I love.
Is that right?
Yep. Big fan of that movie. Inception.
I'll go The Incredibles would certainly be top five.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that has to be in there. Brokeback Mountain would be in my top five, I think. Have you seen that lately?
Not recently.
Oh, my God. I came across it a few weeks back late at night and watched it. And, man, there are certain movies that are impacted by the score more than others.
Right.
And that has got to be, I think, out of context. That if you just started playing that music, I would, maybe not well up, but there's something about that music intrinsically attached to no matter what it's attached to that is just heartbreaking music. Right. But the picture in general is heartbreaking stuff. City of God.
City of God's a great movie.
That's top five. Yeah. I don't want to put everything in the top five.
No.
I've got Incredibles, City of God, Children of Men. Brokeback Mountain and Inglourious Bastards.
That is a great movie. The Wolf of Wall Street is like, that's one I if I see it on TV, I'll watch that just because I like all of it.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, as I've always said about that picture, it's Casino without the stakes.
Yeah.
I don't understand really where any tension comes from for people in that picture. He's a rich guy who like
might be
too hedonistic, but probably not given the lifestyle he leads. Before Sunset is wonderful.
It's a good, all the sunset, you know, before, during, after.
None of the Star Wars is, Rogue One deserves a place in my
probably
top
10. In the top 10, right?
Oh, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. You want to talk about a movie with a pervasive vibe,
right?
that runs through the whole thing. It's so austere.
Yep.
Right?
That's a good. I mean, I wouldn't have put that in this century.
When I watch a picture like that, I marvel at what you do to pass your time. What did anybody do?
Right.
The dawn of man until about 1968. Like, what did anybody do to fill the hours?
You sit on a porch and
books,
swing on a chair.
You either read a book.
Just
right.
Look outside.
Or maybe I had some crappy dolly thing, right. You know, like that you. But what did people do? I don't know what you did.
That's a great point.
Wouldn't be that bad to be in a war because, like, you know, what else was I doing, you know? who would do the best in a war out of the three of us? And who would do the worst?
I think Eddie would do the best, apart from the food.
It's right.
I'd agree with that answer. Good. I've been reading a Navy SEAL book. So I'm getting into that in my quarter.
That settles it.
I've seen
movies that depict multiple wars.
I just find it fascinating.
I'm almost a veteran myself.
Well, when you're growing up, you're almost like petrified of war in the military. Now at this age,
now you're cool with
I'm
it.
I'm like, I think it's I respect it, and I want to learn more about it. Yeah,
that's one of the best answers yet. I'm reading a book about the Navy. I agree. I would do well in war. Well, listen, I'm self-aware enough to know I would do miserably.
I know it wouldn't be me.
It would be and of all the wars, that might be the worst one to throw me into is WW1. That might be the of all the wars you could drop me into.
Yeah, that
where I would fare the worst. That might be it.
That would be the one. There's no hiding place.
We're gonna sit in the mud.
Right. Dave, you're going over the top today. Good news.
It's raining the whole time here.
I would just be in
tears. All right, lads. Some of you won't be coming back. The enemy is a mere 40, 50 yards down the other way. All right, over the wall then. I would be the first one who got shot. Right. Like, I would barely get my head up out of the thing, and then I would be dead. And then, like... that would be day one of the war.
They would be able to, they'd hear me coming from about 2 hours early just from the weeping. They're just sobbing.
I'd be, yeah, right. I would weep the whole time. I would weep the whole time. And then I would be shot. And then I would be the corpse that everybody steps over for the rest of the movie.
No, they would hide behind you. Your gigantic bloated body. They'd be like, well, at least we can take shelter behind Dave.
Action heroes use that move a little bit too much for my book, too. Like, right. I don't know, like about the morality of holding up a dead person to use as your shield.
Also, like, if that dead person, if the bullet went through them, why would you possibly decide that that's a good place to hide behind? If it went through the dead person, it's going to go through the dead person again and hit you.
I've brought this one up before, but I was reminded of it. I don't remember even what movie I was watching, but I think a big difference between what happens in movies or some of the dialogue that you hear in movies, and you hear it all the time in movies, that I bet no one has ever said in the same situation in real life is, if you're in the middle of a big bank heist, you know, like it's late at night and be quick, I'm almost there. Like, if one of my colleagues came in because the police were coming up to the warehouse, or if I was trying to get away in a car and I was a good guy and then the bad guys pulled up behind us and they had guns hanging out, I bet in neither situation would I go like, hurry up guys, we got company.
Yeah,
we got company. Who would ever say that? You would just say an expletive. And
I feel like people have stopped saying that in movies recently. That used to be a big thing. Like every single episode of the A-Team, they always had company.
Colonel
Decker's coming. We got company. It's like, okay, well, you don't. I feel like that's gone away a lot.
Step it up, Cobra. We got company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen. So, all right. Who would win on a reality show, if it were The Bachelor or Love Is Blind, who would do the best? Well, if it's Bachelor, then and it involves your appearance, what you think you would do well, Spaghetti?
No.
I've read a book about it.
The interaction. I'm not worried about my physical appearance. My physical appearance is going to be fine. I haven't missed a day working out. Everything's fine. Everything's under control.
Okay.
It's just the interaction. I feel like I am a very annoying person.
And you're not annoying.
Football fans who have no interest in the Pittsburgh Steelers are intent on convincing everybody that Ben Roethlisberger is fat. That's not a concern here.
Right.
Handsome and I are worried about your weight, right. Spaghetti.
I'll address
and your
got,
career.
You've got that the wrong way around. You are not annoying, but you have a problem with your appearance.
No,
and it's getting worse and worse by the day.
I just think I like what I like, so I don't want to. I want to get myself in trouble talking about the contestants on The Bachelor, and I don't. But it just I don't think I'd mesh well. I'm going to say that.
What does that mean? You wouldn't get yourself in trouble.
Why?
He's read a book about the Navy SEALs, and he's built like a literal SEAL. How would he do on The Bachelor?
I feel like a lot of the contestants they show.
You would impress them though by you would impress the comely young lady by letting her know about your book reading. reading a book about the Navy SEALs, pretty good soldier.
Right. I'm not going to find a person, The Bachelor, who wants to read about the Navy SEALs, go to like a Tool concert and, you know, go, they'll care about like Instagram and stuff. Like, I don't care about that. I'm not into pop culture. Like, I don't need that. I don't like other reality shows. I like weird movies, and like that's what I like. This I like video games. They're not gonna like that. It's just like a bad mix.
All right, I've bought you both enough time. Let's do it now. Win, play, show the best movies of the 21st century. I've got in my win. I'm going Children of Men. I'm gonna go Place. I'm gonna go. Well, you know what? I also love the movie Once. I don't know if that goes in the top three, though.
It's very difficult, Dave, to put us on the spot like this. Inception is definitely a top three movie for me of this century.
Okay.
1917. No, it might be up there. I mean, it was so intense.
All right. I don't know. I thought that'd be fun to talk about, but I guess that we didn't have enough time.
I think we need a bit more time to prepare that.
Are we done, Hanson? I mean, Spaghetti, have we done enough talking here,
Hanson? We've achieved almost nothing.
We're 45 no, we're in.
45 in?
45 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, we've achieved almost nothing. This is the preamble. This Eddie would have eaten this as an appetizer. We've still got to serve the main course to him.
Well, look, there's some Love is Blind. There's a big reunion coming up here, Spaghetti.
I heard about that.
Is there going to be
there's a 24-year-old guy who his biggest shortcoming is that he's short. And he comes out. The woman who he gets engaged to is 34.
Right.
And then she has
a big
issue.
He's how old? 22.
He's 24.
Okay.
But that's not the issue. The issue is that when he comes out, one, he has buggy eyes, and two, he's quite short.
But that's the kind of thing you need. I mean, like, you can work that stuff out. You should be asking, hey, how tall are you?
That's what I ask, too.
Like,
what's going
to be important
surprise?
To you as a woman? That needs to be one of the questions. Or do you have, by the way, do you have buggy eyes? I'm not a big buggy eye guy.
Yeah, just broadly describe broadly. Myself. Like, when you stand on right. a scale, like, what number looks back up at you?
If you got measured, what type of number would come out of that? Are your eyes a little buggy? Like, what are the things you don't like? And that's what you need to.
You have any
ask those questions.
Any health concerns?
Yeah,
you know, the lady variety kind. You want to tell me about? You know, right. That kind of thing. I you would think you would ask those kind of questions.
She becomes the villain of the show, by all accounts. She's like the villain of the
because
show
because she discriminated against him because of his height.
Yeah, people didn't love her attitude about stuff in the show. I'm not going to spoil. I hope you do watch.
I will continue to say. And, you know, they should be a little edgier in their conversation. Real people would have those conversations about, like...
Especially if you can't see. I mean, that's going to be a part of... You don't want to come out and be really, like, not just surprised, but shocked.
Yeah.
By what you're met with.
Yeah, I think they should be more R-rated, X-rated kind of conversations. Wouldn't you imagine that that's what's going... And the other one is the kooky former tank operator lady.
Oh yeah, with the tattoo, and she has a bunch of like college debt, and she just told the guy like you got to pay it off, and the guy asked, he's like, do you work? I think her name is like Amber. He's like, do you work? And she's like, I don't really work all the time. I kind of work when I want to. It's like that is
and I was homeless for a while. Yeah. You should really watch it.
Maybe I'll watch. I'll give it
as always. If nothing else, the thing about reality shows, dating reality shows, relationship based ones, it makes you feel so much better about you. But for me,
but I feel bad. I mean. Yeah,
but these people, they're nice-ish looking people.
Yeah.
But that's about the only thing they have over me. You know? It's like, this is what you talk about? Mm. I've always been, my whole life has been plagued by the idea that, like, surely you don't want to be talking to me. Surely whoever I'm talking to has anything better to do than talk to me right now. And I have always, that's always been the guiding principle for me in life. And I don't know why I do what I do now for a living as a result. I guess they're probably related.
See, I think.
But I can't. When I listen to what people talk about, this is what you talk about. And then you wind up together. You know what, by the way, the thing that I said watching the finale last night to Beth was the through line or the number one trait of these people is that not a single one of them has a sense of humor. They don't even try to make jokes.
Right.
But they laugh a lot.
Well, I don't know how you would, I mean, like,
they laugh a lot, but nobody ever says anything funny or all they talk about is like, I gave you my heart. My heart is now belongs to you.
But then
I fell in love with your heart.
How can anyone, like, if you're taking away any kind of, you know, being able to look at each other, like, that's all that's left. You have to be able to make each other laugh. Otherwise, what else are you having?
Well, I'll tell you the other thing.
The
clever thing that they did do, that the producers did, they had a drink in every person's hand the entire show. Right. Whatever time of day it is, they are always boozing. And that leads to, you know what? As a matter of fact, that's what we need around here. We need a show. Hmm. You want to be on? Oh, yeah, you can come on the show. Only thing you got to do, get loaded. Yep. You know? That'd be a
Some might
show.
Say that maybe this is how the DDFP has been run over the years.
I'm not telling any tales out of school or even in school. All right, let's wrap it up. Unless you
let's do one more. Use your noodle.
I didn't want to keep you.
No. Because I feel so bad about the fact that I got ripped off by Eddie on the last one.
I'm thinking about The Incredibles just to honor it as the greatest animated.
We didn't
movie
say Batman
time.
Either. The Batmans, either one.
I love those pictures.
What comedies?
Not
in
great.
It. You haven't said one comedy.
I think you kind of have to. To let the Academy Awards off the hook. Oh, I do think it should be a new Shecky Award category is the best movie of the 21st century. And then, you know, last year it might have been Children of Men. But if I liked 1917 sufficiently, it could conceivably replace it.
As long as it's the best movie of the
21st century. So this is a Shecky Award. Children of Men, as of this moment, is the Shecky Award winner. But it could be replaced.
I'm going to go back and watch it again because I genuinely have not watched that movie in a long time.
Spaghetti's never seen it. It's just a gem. It's a good movie. It really is a good picture. I really would think you'll love it, especially with your Navy SEAL training. Because they have the British equivalent of those guys.
Yeah.
What are they called?
The SAS.
The SAS?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Time for Use Your Noodle. Play us a little bit of the song to get me in the mood.
So get together and canoodle.
Okay, that'll do. I don't think we need more than that.
I'd like you to do a little bit better job of being like a game show personality, Spaghetti. Please.
Well, before I do that, do you want to pick this one, Hank?
I'm worried if Spaghetti's going to... Spaghetti is like... 4 to 7 pounds away from having a fat guy voice.
Also, what do you want to pick up there?
Hank saw the tweet about
an interesting part of obesity is that you can hear it.
I had to take it offline with Eddie because on Twitter, Eddie's girlfriend, who you know, somehow puts, I don't know how big, they must have a large apartment because Eddie by this point is probably taking up 75% of it. Puts up a picture of like the most gigantic in and out order.
Yeah.
I took it offline with Eddie and just said, hey, by the way, you weren't involved in this.
Hey, I like to have fun.
Yeah, yeah, I like to have fun, but you weren't involved in all this.
I wanted to get out ahead
our
of
our common
that, but
space, but one on one.
It was post hike. It was a post hike with her family.
I mean, did you hike to In and Out?
Yeah, that's how you refuel. We were in Hollywood.
You hiked from your car all the way to through the parking lot.
We went to the Wisdom Tree in Hollywood, and there's the Internet on Sunset. So one in Rome, and we brought our family there. And we got double animal style fries. So I didn't get the 4x4. I got the double. So that's starting somewhere.
Just so that the rumors aren't out there. You are not the one who killed Bin Laden, right?
No, I'm not.
No, you had nothing. No,
he was in the tunnel.
He could have, though.
He was in the tunnel. Eddie couldn't get in there. he tried to, but he couldn't fit.
Let's do this one. I like this one a lot. This is the... Everyone talks about who's the number one overall pick. How about name the number two overall pick? And we have it dating back to 1980, but we don't have to go back that far.
Pass.
No, okay. That's too difficult.
All right. We have...
If I took 5 minutes to think about it, but on the spot, I think this
one's a little bit easier, and it's
Mariota.
So we just did quarterback
Saquon.
Let's do running backs. First round running back since the year 2000. Want to do that one?
What was I to say again? I'm thinking about
all
the second
of the first round
now.
Running back since the year 2000.
Yeah, exactly.
First round running back.
Running
since
back selected
the year
in the first round. Yep, since 2000.
All right, that's a pretty fun one. I just don't want Handsome looking at my answers.
I don't want you looking at mine.
Do I go first as the reigning champ?
You can go first.
Saquon Barkley.
Zeke.
That's correct. He was a first rounder. You know who else was? Another guy was Sony Michel.
Yes.
It's a good one. Good pull, Dave. I admire you for that.
Since the year 2000, you say?
Should I tell you one? Cadillac Williams.
Ooh.
There you go.
Ooh.
Just, I don't know why I went there, but.
Well, because he and his Auburn teammate did it. We're both first round picks. I think maybe even top 10.
Top five.
They're top five.
Top five?
Yeah.
Ronnie Brown was the top five?
I believe Ronnie Brown went two.
He's number three.
Didn't Alex Smith go one?
Yeah.
Dolphins took.
Yep.
And then I think Cadillac went five to the Bucs.
Went five.
Boy, weird. I have no recollection.
Also, number four was Cedric Benson to the Bears. I don't know why I remember that draft.
Cedric Benson.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Do it.
There you go. I gave him a free one. That's making up for last game.
I don't think he deserves that one.
What, Dave? Just because you're not smart enough to come up with it.
The year 2000. So wait, is it my turn now?
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, it's funny because...
Edge James.
Good one, Dave.
Not necessarily. Not until I get the thumbs up here.
Sorry, I'm going over the list. Edgerrin James.
No. What?
Oh, David.
Wait, is that...
Edgerrin James, no. I mean, he...
He was, what, 90?
He's on this list.
He's Cade McCown's class because he be...
It's 98, I think.
Really? No.
Edgerrin James.
No. Because Marshall Faulk is there when Peyton gets there.
Edgerrin James went fourth overall.
1999.
Yeah.
Dang! So that's the end of it?
No, because I have to come up with
one. You have to get one more running back that went in the first round since 2000. All right.
Julius Jones.
Julius Jones.
Wait, did he not go in the first round? I don't know why I pulled that one.
Julius Jones. That's a weird one to
think. No, that wasn't the one I meant. I meant the other Cowboys one.
How can we be so terrible at this?
I know you guys are back.
We should really be doing much better than this. Okay,
Darren McFadden is who I was thinking of.
McFadden did go in the first, yes.
Well, the part of it is legitimately, obviously I just got burnt by that one, but the 2000 thing makes it
like was Ricky Williams, that was 90.
That was before I left Chicago, so right. That would have been 98.
Yeah, Ricky Williams is
I'm not saying Ricky Williams. That was one that I decided not to say.
Well, it wouldn't be Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm really grasping at straws when I'm watching the Digital Wall of Fame behind me. Well, Le'Veon Bell was a second-round guy. Leonard Fournette, though, was...
That was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Fournette, okay. I'd like a ding of validation.
Sorry, I got to do that. I have to check it and then make on the final list. I'll do the ding.
I think I got another one. No, I don't. I got one.
How about the Seahawks have taken a few? I'm going to go with Rashad Penny.
Very nice. That's a correct one. Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram is on the list. That is correct.
Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson is on the list.
Trent Richardson. CMC.
McCaffrey, yes.
Good one. Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
D'Angelo Williams.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a very good one, Dave. Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
Jonathan Stewart.
Look at us now. We're flying, Dave.
We really are doing beautifully now. Some early struggles have been overcome here. I'm proud of all of us. Robert Edwards. That was 94-ish.
That's way back. Just trying to go through team by team now. Was Shady McCoy a first-round draft pick?
No.
Okay, well, that doesn't count as my guess. That was just a question.
I mean, I don't know. Like, are you're going to allow that on your game?
I don't even know. You just said Robert Edwards. I don't know who.
Yeah, I was just telling Handsome not to do that one. So I told him don't do it.
It's Handsome's turn. He just said Shady McCoy.
No, I didn't say it. I said was Shady.
Oh, I got one. Okay.
You know when it gets to the point, and then you're like, I can't even think of an NFL team.
Yes. Is this terrible podcast or is this good podcasting?
I guarantee you this is going to have probably our most listens and most tweets in quite some time.
Really? Why?
It's just the way the fans work.
we have on
just the way the fans work.
It's just like we have on these like huge name, big name guests, and then you don't get as much feedback as sometimes you'd assume. And then we have,
but I mean, when we do this and we sit here in silence playing this,
oh no, it's probably terrible. Yeah.
Is it terrible? Well, would you radio, sit and listen you to somebody want, do that?
I mean, Francesca gets made fun of when he used to be on air and do the dead air, but I think people also like this.
Yeah, game. But we're thinking that right. this is the sound of meditation. I have another one here, but I don't know if he was I don't think he was a first round pick, but okay.
I honestly can't come up with another one.
I can't believe the Packers never. The Packers Aaron Rodgers. They have not had one. I don't think. Right, Spaghetti?
There's since 2000. I don't see the Packers on this list.
Do you see
once.
The Broncos? I do. Racking my brain, and I know that there's a Broncos one. And I can't think who the hell it is.
Yeah. Well,
there is a.
Oh yeah. Well, there for okay. I can name now. I can name at least a couple more here. I think.
Okay. Well, I'll pass.
Lawrence Maroney.
Maroney.
Oh, that's
on
a good one.
It was the feature back on the almost. So which then, is, which by the way. Imagine how crazy that would have been if the team that goes 19-0 and finally gets over on the Dolphins, their feature back was Lawrence Maroney. Yeah. How crazy would
and
that have been?
And then didn't Joe Addai go in the same
Joe
year?
Joe Addai did as
Colts.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's exactly right.
That's the prompt I needed.
Javid Best.
Javid Best.
Javid Best.
Yes.
Good one.
And I don't the Bronco, I can't think of the guy. What was the guy's name who – on the good Broncos team that went Monty Ball.
Monty Ball is not on the.
Ooh, I'll tell you.
Oh, he wasn't
was.
On the first round?
I mean,
I was thinking that you were
Reggie
going
Bush.
Yes.
Lendale White.
No, Lendale was a
Lendale's,
second round guy.
Yeah.
Was he did he go second?
Chris Johnson was a first round pick, though.
CJ2K.
Chris Johnson.
That was
yes.
a bit of a surprise. That, yeah. No, some people thought that was a reach. What about. Who I was going to say was, I just don't remember. I think he might have been a second round guy, Clinton Portis.
Portis.
I think he was second as well.
Don't see Portis on here.
Who's obvious that we've forgotten, Eddie?
There is an M. There, yeah, there's at least there's a Hall of Famer. There's
a guy already in the Hall of Fame.
No, but he will be. I think. I mean, he's
the guy from the kid from Ohio State on their national championship year who was in all the trouble, only played his freshman year, then went pro.
Ron Dane?
Ron Dane's on the list, yeah.
Very nice. That's crazy that their entire career played out.
I'm 2020. Wrong. There is one definite Hall of Famer. There is
a guy in the Hall,
correct.
And he started in this same century. That's crazy.
Am I wrong? He's in the Hall?
Is he?
Oh, by the way, Marshawn Lynch.
LT.
Yes, that's the one. And then LaDainian Tomlinson. Yes, exactly.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
See, I had LT at the beginning. I was like, no, there's no way that's since 2000.
At a TCU, yeah.
It was 2001, wasn't it?
It was 2001, yes.
You said not Monty Ball. And who is the current Hall of Famer? LT is the current Hall of Famer. Right. All right. I don't know. What do you think, Handsome? Should we cut that from the show?
Let's keep it in there.
Should we cut
if anyone's listening at this
should
point,
we cut the Love is Blind talk? Was that too boring?
Again, it sounds like people are interested in it.
It's the hottest show.
All right. I just didn't think that I was especially insightful on the show.
I thought you did a good job of you definitely did the job of someone explaining something they hadn't really properly watched.
Well, I think the takeaway is for me, as usual, whether it's The Bachelor or otherwise, like I always say, I feel pleased to know that I'm not the you know, another reality show. I'm not the biggest loser in the world. When I watch that, I realize, there's so many people that are incapable of saying anything that isn't just down the middle, trite, pap, you know?
And as usual, Dave, once again, you've brought it full circle, as a great host you are, talking about The Biggest Loser, where we started with Eddie and the intervention.
We need that show to come back.
Yeah.
ASAMP.
Want me to quickly just run off the rest of the names?
Go on then. Throw a couple else.
Last year, Josh Jacobs, first round running back.
How do we miss Josh Jacobs?
This one will hurt too. Todd Gurley, 2015. Then we have the Giants, like David Wilson, Doug Martin.
Wow. Remember the David Wilson pick?
Oh, yeah.
David
I remember that.
Wilson.
Ryan Matthews.
Wait, who'd you say right after Wilson?
Ryan Matthews
Doug
is
Martin.
A good one.
Muscle hamster.
Yeah. Ryan Matthews.
Ryan Matthews, right? CJ Spiller. Chris Beanie Wells was a running back. Donald Brown, I went to the Colts. No Sean Moreno was the
No Sean.
Yeah.
That's it. Remember when he cried during
the cried, yeah. Rashard Mendenhall, Steeler. Felix Jones was maybe
that's who I was thinking of. Julius Jones. Yeah. Is that what I said?
Thomas Jones and Julius Thomas Jones, are related, right? Also, Thomas Jones is on this list.
Carlos Hyde?
No.
Start saying Ohio State runners. It makes me think of that.
Then we have back. We're all you guys got a good chunk here.
Oh, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Did I pass
you? I think.
Derrick Henry was in the first round.
Yeah, he went in round two, I think.
DeMarco Murray?
No. We'll see who's. No. Don't have him.
Huh.
Anyway, back to 04, Bengals took Chris Perry, Steven Jackson, Larry Johnson, Willis McGahee, TJ Duckett, William Green, Michael Bennett, Deuce McAllister, Trung candidate, Sean Alexander, Thomas Jones, who we just said, and then Jamal Lewis.
J. Lou. See,
Sean Alexander and Jamal Lewis. Jamal Lewis feels like he's been out of the league for a decade, and it felt like he was a star, you know, had a legitimate impact on the history of pro football. And has been retired. I can't believe it's 2020, and he was drafted within this millennium.
Kevin Jones, too, 04 Lions. I'm not sure if I said him. But, yeah,
that's a good one.
We talked with D'Angelo Hall about Kevin Jones and what we thought was going to – we agreed back then that he was going to be a star. Anyway, listen. All right, enough's enough. I can't believe we filled an hour here, but we've done it once again.
Congratulations, Dave.
Well, congratulations to you, and thank you,
great
Eddie
cookies,
Spaghetti.
How would you rate those?
A delicious cookie. Thank you for sharing your booty, wherever you pulled that from.
My
and,
booty.
And thank you, Eddie Spaghetti, for your service.
Watching us eat cookies.
Well, and of course, what he did.
Yeah, the stuff he does in the military while he's...
The hell he went through just to call himself a SEAL. I admire
it. I mean, it must have been tough for you reading about the physical exercise you have to put in to become...
I'm not trying to steal valor. I say I respect what those...
I wouldn't like also... I mean, listen, the bottom line is I would be bad at war, but I wouldn't want to be a revolutionary guy who, like, gets one shot, like, gets the powder, and then you have to, like... All right, then quickly reload and put the powder into the thing while people are running towards you to like get you. I wouldn't do well with that.
And a bayonet. Bayonet is like, I'd rather you shoot me than stab me with the bayonet because that doesn't feel like it's going to finish me off completely.
Sometimes you see the guys do the overkill thing of like they get you with the bayonet and then they pull the trigger.
Or the other way around. You don't need to stab that guy. You just shot him.
Yeah. I also just watched. The Scorsese picture, New York,
Gangs
of New York. I just watched that. I'd be another thing I wouldn't do well with. Like everybody
being in a gang,
just with a bunch of cutlery. That's all they have. Nobody has any guns or anything.
Yep.
They just have a bunch of cutlery, and then they run towards each other, and they just like.
All forms of combat. I don't think we need. We don't need to specify. Yeah. I don't know what combat you think. What type of combat would you do well in?
Connect Four. Oh, but like physical.
Physical. No.
None.
None.
No. No.
But there must be one that you would do better in than any of the other.
Well, like I told Willie McGinnis, the last episode, I reminded him that I would be able to lead a drive. If you gave me an NFL offense, a high-end NFL offense, I could lead it to a point-scoring drive.
I've known you for a long time, Dave. You wouldn't get them out of the huddle without a penalty. You would not be able to call a play and do it and get the play off within the play clock.
Yeah,
I've known you for long enough to know that would immediately every down you would.
We're gonna run the Y banana.
Hey, by the way,
do you think that's gonna work though? Because it might not. And then, do you smell those hot dogs? Have you ever eaten a hot dog here? It's
tick,
not good.
Tick. Yeah, right. Whistle.
I might
flag.
Have trouble. Yeah,
that's a problem.
What? Wait.
Uniform complaints. Right. I don't like they were wearing these colors today.
Yeah.
And then when the defensive captain starts calling stuff out across the line.
What'd
you say? Are you talking about me? What did you say? I don't like to be talked about. You're right. It wouldn't go very well. All right. This did go, I guess, okay, at least.
According to Eddie.
Thanks to the host of Use Your Noodle. I always like playing Use Your Noodle. Eddie Spaghetti. And to you, Handsome Hank, appreciate you stopping in Studio 66.
It's been nice to see you, Dave.
As always, a pleasure. Thank you for the cookie. And thank you, the listener. We'll be back next week with more Who in Applesauce for you, because, of course, in the off season, It is Shecker season, and we'll have more delightful conversation about pro football and also the game of life for you. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.